So what are we going to do? What was the point of coming to this system? Han pressed his lips together, searching for an answer. It had felt right to come to Coretta to pick up Kip's trail. I want to see what he saw, he said. Think like he might have been thinking. What was going through his mind? You know him better than I do, buddy. If he ignited the Cauldron Nebula to wipe out Admiral Dalla, and now he blew up the Imperial Military Training Center, where would he go next? Think for yourself. What would be your next target? Han stared out of the inferno of what had been Corita's sun. If my goal was to strike out at the Empire, causing as much damage as possible, I would head for... He turned sharply and looked at Lando. Lando's deep brown eyes flew open.
That's too dangerous. He wouldn't go there.
Han said, I don't think dangerous has anything to do with it. Let me guess. Next, you'll say that we're going to follow him to the core system. You got it, old buddy. Han set the coordinates in the Nava computer, and he heard Lando mumble to himself.
Now I'll never get to Kessel on time.
The glowing gases of Coretta's exploded star funneled around them as space elongated. The Falcon shot into hyperspace, heading far behind enemy lines and deep into the heart of the remaining forces of the Empire. Near the bright heart of the galaxy, where stars lay close together in uncharted configurations, the resurrected Emperor had gathered his defenses to make a last stand. But since Palpatine's destruction, the Imperial warlords had fought each other for control. With no military genius like Grand Admiral Thrawn to unify the remnants, the Imperial war machine had withdrawn into the protected core systems. The warlords had left the victorious New Republic to lick its wounds while they vied for supremacy in their own corner of the galaxy. But when one military leader managed to come out on top, the forces would strike against the New Republic. Unless Kip Duron destroyed them first. Han and Lando found an exploded red dwarf star on the fringes of the core. The small, dim sun had been unremarkable, and according to the Falcon's planetary atlas, had no habitable worlds. However, scouts had determined that the red dwarf system sheltered a starship construction yard, weapons depot, and storage for archives shielded in thick vaults deep within several lifeless rocky planets. Han looked out the viewport and saw that the small star had exploded in a less spectacular fashion than Corita's sun, a fizzle without enough mass to generate a significant chain reaction. But the shock fronts had still pulverized and incinerated the closely orbiting planet. He's done it again, Han said. You can't miss a trail like the one Kip is leaving. Lando squinted at the scanners. I'm tracking 11 Victory-class star destroyers heading out of the system. That's just great, Han said. He had enough to worry about with Kip and the Sun Crusher. He didn't want to tangle with an Imperial fleet at the same time. Have they picked us up yet? Don't think so. There's still a lot of radiation and interference from that explosion. Looks to me like they just packed up and ran. Han felt hope blossom in him. You think this happened recently? Kip just triggered the star explosion? Could be. All right, then you'd better scan for... Already got him, Han. The Sun Crusher is sitting high above the ecliptic like he's just... watching. Plot a course, Han said, sitting up straight. We're going after him. Full speed. He punched the thrusters, and the Falcon's bank of sublight engines blazed white. The acceleration shoved Han and Lando back into their seats as the ship made a graceful loop heading above the orbital plane and approaching the blip on their sensors. As the Falcon closed the gap, though, the Sun Crusher began to flit away. He spotted us. After him, Han said. If he jumps to light speed, we've lost him. The Falcon shot forward, Han sighted on a bright speck moving across their path against the starfield. Want me to power up the lasers, Han? Lando asked. We're not going to shoot him, are we? What if he doesn't stop? Wouldn't do any good to shoot him, not with that quantum armor of his. Han opened a comm channel. Kip, it's me, Han Solo. Kid, we've got to talk to you. In answer, the Sun Crusher winked as it changed course and increased speed. Punch it, Han said. Let's go. We're already pushing the red line, Lando said. She'll hold together, Han answered, then bent to the comm system again. Hey, Kip, listen to me. The Sun Crusher arced around and began to grow larger in the viewport. Han, Lando said, he's coming right at us.
Han felt exhilarated, glad that Kip was turning around to talk with them.
I think he's going to ram us, Lando said.
Han blinked in disbelief. He bent over the transmitter.
Kip, don't do this.
Kip, it's me, Han. The Sun Crusher hurtled past them, swerving at the last moment to fire a burst of lasers from the defensive weapons mounted on its hull. Han heard the blast thump against the Falcon, but they caused no damage.
Must have been a warning, Lando said.
Yeah, some warning, Han answered.
Kip, why don't...
The young man's brittle voice finally came at them.
Han, leave me alone. Go away. I've got work to do.
Kip, that's what I'd like to talk with you about, Han said, suddenly at a loss for words.
The Sun Crusher hurtled toward them as if for another strafing run. As the small craft rushed past, Han worked the controls and yanked out with the Millennium Falcon's tractor beam, latching on to the small superweapon.
Hey, I caught him, Han said in surprise.
The momentum of the Sun Crusher was enough to jerk the Falcon around, but the tractor beams held. Han pumped up the power, increasing his invisible grip. Finally, both ships came to a relative dead standstill high above the orbital plane of the exploded red dwarf star.
All right, Han, Kip said. If this is the way you want it, I can't let you stop me.
The comm system fell silent.
I don't like the sound of that, Lando said.
Kip's voice returned.
One of these resonance torpedoes is enough to make a whole star blow up. I'm sure it'll make short work of a piece of junk like the Falcon.
Han looked out at the crystalline shape of the Sun Crusher. The toroidal projector glowed a crackling blue and green, powering up to launch one of its projectiles at point-blank range.
I've got a bad feeling about this, Han said.
11. The mid-morning light shone through open skylights into the temple's grand audience chamber. Golden sunbeams dappled the polished flagstones, reflecting onto the rough-hewn walls. From the raised platform behind his motionless body, the spirit of Luke Skywalker watched as Kilgall led the young twins on another visit. Kilgall held the twins' hands, gliding forward with fluid steps. This morning she wore her bluish ambassadorial garment instead of her drab Jedi robe. Behind the Calamarian ambassador came a guilt-ridden screen beside muscular and supple Kirana Tai. R2-D2 hovered close to Luke's body, like a sentry rolling back and forth. The astromech droid had taken it upon himself to guard the Jedi Master after the devastating storm. Luke found the little droid's loyalty deeply touching, though not surprising. Han and Leia's twin children stared wide-eyed at Luke, and his spirit watched them back longingly. Unable to communicate, he felt trapped. What would Obi-Wan have done in such a situation? He believed the Force would give him an answer if he knew where to look.
You see, children, your Uncle Luke is safe. We rescued him last night. Your mother helped. We all helped. We're still trying to find some way to wake him up.
I am awake, Luke shouted into the empty spirit plane. I've got to find a way to communicate that to you.
The twins stared at the motionless body.
He is awake, Jason said. He's right there.
The little boy tilted his dark eyes up to gaze directly at Luke's spirit. With a jolt, Luke stared back at Jason.
You can see me, Jason. Can you understand me?
Both Jaina and Jason nodded their heads. Kilgall wrapped her hands around their shoulders and steered them away.
Of course he is, children.
Thrilled and subtly hopeful, Luke started to drift after them, but Screen came to the platform and threw himself to his knees, looking so stricken that waves of confusion rippled from him like a physical blow to Luke.
Master Skywalker, I am deeply sorry, Screen said. I listened to the wrong voices in my head. The dark man tricked me. He will never do that again.
Screen looked up, his eyes unfocused, flicking from side to side. He seemed to stare at Luke as well.
Can you see me too, Screen? Can you hear me?
Luke thought fast, wondering if his abilities had changed.
The dark man came to me, Screen said. But I sense you're here too, Master Skywalker. I will never doubt you.
Kirana Tai squeezed Screen's shoulder. Luke's mind raced. Exar Kun could communicate with the others, if only in subtle ways, and now Luke knew that was possible for him too. He could already speak to the twins. Elation swept over him. He began to make plans as the other Jedi candidates filed out of the echoing room. Now he was confident he could save himself, perhaps with the help of his Jedi students, his new generation of Jedi Knights. From the stone walls behind him, an otherworldly voice said,
"How touching. Your clumsy students still imagine they can save you. But I know more than they do. My training wasn't limited by cowardice, as yours was."
Ekthar Kun stood black and wavering.
"Gantaris was mine, and he is destroyed. Kip Duron remains under my tutelage. Streen is already mine. The others will also begin to hear my voice."
He raised his spectral arms.
"It is all falling into place. I shall resurrect the Brotherhood of the Sith, and with your Jedi trainees, I shall form the core of an invincible, force-wielding army."
Luke rounded on him, still not knowing how to fight this intangible enemy. Ekthar Kun laughed, as if an idea had just occurred to him.
"I came to you first in a dream disguised as your fallen father, Skywalker. Perhaps I should appear to them in your own form. They will certainly follow the teachings of the Sith if the words come from your mouth."
"No," Luke said. With his astral body, he leaped to tackle the shimmering silhouette of the Sith Lord. But though his sparkling body passed smoothly through the shadow, Ekthar Kun did seem to discorporate momentarily. Luke felt a spear of ice plunge through his core as he touched Kun, but he stood firm while the Dark Lord reeled against the stone wall, seeping back into the cracks to escape.
"I've already been tempted by the dark side," Luke said. "I came out stronger. You are weak because you know only the evil teachings. Your understanding is no greater than that of my apprentices."
Before he vanished, Ekthar Kun called back,
"We shall see who is stronger."
The sun had set behind the giant ball of Yavin. With the onset of the moon's half-night, the sky was lit only by an orangish glow reflected from the gas giant, giving the jungle a ruddy appearance. Colonies of jabbering willamanders settled down in the high branches for the night. In the underbrush, predators and prey moved through dances of survival. Sapphire blue piranha beetles buzzed low over the sluggish rivers in search of victims. Other insects hummed their mating songs. Far deeper in the jungle, though, night creatures rose out of shadowy caves and flapped their jagged wings. Hissing and mindless, they followed a burning compulsion that drove them toward the great temple. The creatures' wings made sounds like wet cloth striking stone as they flapped against downdrafts in the rapidly cooling air. Purplish veins pulsed as their black hearts beat swiftly, giving them energy for the long flight. Two heads sprang out on long, sinuous necks from each muscular torso. A wicked tail dangled behind each creature, ending in a hooked stinger that glistened with crystals of poison. Iridescent scales glittered in the coppery dusk light, as if illuminated by stoked embers. Yellow reptilian eyes widened their pupil slits, seeking their target. Alchemical monsters created long ago during the dominion of Ekthar Kun on Yavin 4, these creatures had lived for generations in the black and dripping grottos of distant mountains. Now three of them had awakened, called to destroy the body of Luke Skywalker. The flying creatures struck the open skylights at the apex of the ziggurat. With metal claws, they scrabbled on the weathered stones that framed narrow windows. Each creature's double heads bobbed up and down, hissing and snapping in anticipation. Folding their bat-like wings against them, they squirmed through the skylight into the open chamber. Moving together, the creatures descended toward Luke's helpless body, long talons extended. End of side two. To continue, change side selector switch and turn the cassette over.